everybody. Welcome to another edition of We Talk Photo. I am John Peterson, and with me as always is Mr. Jack Graham.
I'm back.
You are back from the great state of Arkansas.
Well, Alaska.
And Alaska, yeah, you've been out and about.
Actually, Olympic National Park, and then Sitka, Alaska, and a day home, and then Mr. Haynes, who we'll talk about here in a minute, came out from California. We drove to Arkansas, met Mr. Yarborough, who we'll talk about in a minute, and had an experience.
Yeah, so that's awesome. You've been around. Thanks for...
We had a threesome. It was great.
Yeah, you did. So happy that we could find some time to squeeze in a podcast. And today, folks, we wanted to talk just a little bit. I know leading up to the event of the eclipse, it was there was so much media and so many articles about this, that, and everything else. But we wanted to kind of do a little discussion post-eclipse and talk with Jack, Doug, and Dennis about their experience through this.
Let's introduce Dennis and Doug.
Pardon?
We need to introduce Dennis and Doug to the world.
We do, to the world.
Literally.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
I know. Well, go ahead.
Okay. So, Dennis Yarborough and Doug Haynes are very, very dear friends of mine and kind of dear friends of John's. I've known them a little longer than John has, but both these gentlemen started out doing some workshops with me a million years ago, and like most of you who are listening that maybe have done photo workshops, you know, you've either become friends with other participants or, you know, really good friends with the leaders, and that's part of the fun of doing a workshop. Not that we're plugging workshops here, but maybe we should be. But
later,
you know. But Doug is from California, and John and Dennis is from Oklahoma. So why don't Doug just give the folks a rundown? Maybe you can tell everybody about yourself in a couple of hours.
a little quicker than that.
These guys are great folks.
Well, native Californian. Lived in the same area my whole life, married to the same woman my whole life. I'm pretty much pretty boring when it comes to life, but it's been good.
You're the odd man out in this here.
Yeah, I have four kids, and I finally got the last one through college. I decided to get back into photography, and that's when I met up with Jack, and that's probably been, 12, 13 years ago, I guess, something like that. Enjoy traveling around, taking pictures, enjoy the relationships, and it's been a great ride.
And he won't tell everybody, but he's a really good photographer. Doug, you have a website?
I do.
Well, just let everybody. He's trying to be a comedian, and there's only one comedian here. Let's get
it. Yeah, it's DougHaynes.smugmug.com. So it's a very simple.
His work is. It's really
nothing for sale there. I do it just to share. I do it for fun. I enjoy being out with these guys and just seeing some beautiful stuff. And if you come back with something, that's always an extra bonus. So good memories.
Correct. Dennis is again a superb photographer. He's worked real hard at it. No, he is. Tell us a little bit about Dennis.
You said two things right. I work real hard at it.
You do.
And I live in Oklahoma. I'm from Arkansas, okay? And so that's kind of what brought about this experience. But I'm born in Arkansas, did most of my career here in Arkansas, spent a lot of time in the service, but my retirement comes from a job here in Arkansas with a water utility. I was a civil engineer. And therein lies the problem working with Jack, because I'm the technical part and he's the artist part. And it's really hard to get past the technical stuff. But John and Jack, Bill, even Doug and the people on the workshops have always kind of helped me along. And I've looked at things differently and I've learned to look at things differently and working on it. But Yeah, it's great joy, great pleasure.
That's really good advice for folks who are new. You know, there's a lot of, John, there's a lot, I think we're seeing a lot of workshop people who are newly retired and looking for something to, you know, dive into, and photography seems to be a common denominator. So for those of you who are new to this, the advice from Doug and Dennis is invaluable. But that's not why we're here today. So let's move on to John. Why don't you guide us?
Why are we here? Well, you know, the experience of witnessing an eclipse is, to some people, it's a life altering experience. It's unlike anything that we can experience here on Earth with any regularity. I was fortunate enough to be in the path of totality in 2017 up here, and it was a pretty profound impact. And I kind of wanted to broach that subject with these three guys and talk about the kind of the preparation that went into photographing the eclipse, and then what the experience was like during it, and just kind of see where it goes.
Well, you know, we and Dennis and Doug, I can't remember where we were, but we were somewhere a long time ago, and talked about this event, and you know, we did a lot of preparation and being prepared. You know, there's a really great basketball coach one time. I won't get into names because it may rub people the wrong way, but his comment was, everybody's got the will to win, but what we really need is the will to prepare to win. And it goes the same for photography. Everybody wants to take a good photograph, but we need to have the will to prepare to take a good photograph. And the three of us, Rick Tanner was supposed to be with us, but something happened, he couldn't make it. If you're Rick, if you're hearing this, we missed you. But we got into, you know, a period where we talked about where, when, how, and why, and it really was really important that we did that, because I think, you know, you'd have, technically, this is out of my scope. Technically, Dennis is a real maven in this kind of photography and helped me immensely, and I know helped Doug. Yeah. But we kind of left the logistics, and, you know, we knew where we needed to be, because, you know, that's easy to find, you know, give and take 20 miles of the totality. But we got in deeper with that. Dennis, why don't you take us through the idea of the location and some of the ideas that we had talked about before we came live here on the podcast?
Okay, John, were you going to say something?
Well, I was going to ask, you know, other than buying a filter for your lens, what kinds of preparations did you guys do? I mean, you picked a location, but technically, I mean, you just get a filter and slap it on, and there you go.
Yeah, no. I think one of the main things, besides getting your filters, decide what kind of shots you want to get, whether it's some wide angle shot that traverses the whole arc, you know, from first contact to fourth contact, or if you're going to zoom in, which I chose to do this time, with some telephoto, with the solar filter, and then tracking along as it went through the different phases. And so I think, yeah, you have to have a solar filter for almost all of it. But knowing when to remove the solar filter, what exposures to shoot at during when you have the solar filter on, and also during totality when you have it off, and then practicing even just taking the filter on and off, you know, is some of that kind of stuff without disturbing focus and without knocking everything out of alignment. The one thing that helped me a lot was practicing in the backyard in Oklahoma, of just being able to focus on the sun, because focus is so critical on this thing. If you don't nail it, you've got a blurry blob. And so focus, moving through your different, I actually set up a custom setting that would do most of it using the intervalometer, And then when it got to be the point where I could remove it, your exposure, that changes during totality because it's so much darker. And then knowing when to put the filter back on so you don't burn out the sensor. And then the last thing was just enjoying being with somebody that also wants to enjoy the same thing. And so, yeah, preparation was a big part of it, knowing and practicing and shooting and even the processing. But, you know, there's a lot of it just showing up and being there on time.
Yeah. It was important to know what angle the sun was. For example, in last fall, I think it was at 40-something degrees, just pretty low. Here today, if you didn't have a good foreground that was tall, like a little mountain or a peak or a little hill or something, you were up, maybe you were up 60, 70 degrees off the earth. And, you know, certain lenses, if you have a wide-angle lens, you know, it's not going to work as well as a telephoto. So knowing kind of where things are is extremely important to Dennis.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that struck me, too, when Dennis was talking is knowing what kind of photographs you want. And that really speaks to knowing your subject matter. And even the eclipse, right? There's first contact, fourth contact. There's the pearls that can happen around the edge. And there's all these different types of eclipse photographs. And if you didn't study and learn what those were, you know, you might not come away with something that you want.
Well, John, it's no different from going to a location that maybe you either haven't been to or you've been to once. And the more you know about what goes on in a lake or mountain or weather or whatever, the better your photograph's going to do. I remember John Shaw, when he was shooting a lot of macro stuff, he had a book with him about, you know, insects and spiders. And, you know, he said the more you know, the better photographer you're going to be. You know?
I think for me, we had a lot of videos, a lot of input, going back to what Dennis said, kind of some of the mechanics of being able to focus on the sun. Because that, I mean, to me, that was the most important thing. Whatever I shoot, I want to get it sharp. Okay. So one little thing of practice did that. But then back to what John was saying, you kind of also have to have the ability to punt a bit, because I had in mind what I wanted to shoot when I got there. And then I got there and we kind of got into it a bit. And I completely changed that, talking to Dennis and Jack. I thought, you know what? If I don't capture some of this stuff, even if I don't use it, I have those images available to do something later on if I want to. So I'd rather have more than less, because I had planned on a real kind of narrow view and ended up with a bunch of shots rather than that.
Wow. And you know, the thing that gets me a little bit too is you only have, in this case, I think you had 4 minutes of totality. So you have to work fast. And as Dennis said, you know, practicing putting the filter on, off. I mean, just imagine if you knocked yourself out of focus in the middle of that or something went wrong with your camera and you were left screwing around with it. My gosh, I mean, you waste half the experience.
You got to add in.
I looked over at Doug and one of you guys had an internal focus lens. Well, my 1-4 was a push-pull lens. So if you take that filter off and just happen to nudge it, everything you had for the last 2 hours is out of focus. So you really have to be aware.
Right there during that start of totality, there's a lot of things going on. You're going to switch to bracketing. You got to have your bracketing set up. You're going to take your filter off. So I had kind of rehearsed in my mind, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. Because if you don't, it goes by pretty fast, like the whole, what's it called, Dennis? The diamond ring, I think it's called. I mean, if you don't get that, it's gone. So, you know, it's funny because we sat around for like an hour before with the intervalometer going off once a minute, and we're all kind of sitting back talking. And then once it came to within a minute of totality, man, we're all focused and okay, we're going to do this. And
the challenge for me, and it was a challenge, and we didn't really talk about this, Dennis and Doug. I wanted to experience that darkness,
right?
The cool temperatures, and just the overall atmosphere that was going on. It was bizarre. I mean,
it was bizarre.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a sunset. I don't know if you guys looked over to the left. I mean, there were clouds over there, and there was alpenglow in the clouds. The whole experience was surreal.
Yeah, you could see Venus and Jupiter come out during totality.
So how do you, I want to experience that, but at the same time be ready to,
you got to work.
I almost said to myself, screw the photograph. This is great. Yeah.
I had actually underestimated the experience myself. Yeah. I was thinking, the astrophotography is not my thing. It'd be fun to go, blah, blah, blah. But man, once you're in there, the experience was just a once in a lifetime thing. So it's very underestimated for me.
Yeah. I will tell you.
The thing that added to it a lot to me, one is I was with.
Oh, go ahead, Dad. Yeah. Sorry.
One thing that added to it for me was I was with some really, really good friends. A gentleman and his wife. I'd worked with this guy for over 30 years, and we knew him real well. His wife was there. She had never experienced a total eclipse before. And going through that with them and you two guys, it was really meaningful.
It was memorable. It really was.
And the point there, John, is that we chose not, there was a lot of areas around where we were where there was a lot of people with good subject matter for foreground. You know, water, hills, trees, beautiful area. It's a beautiful, gorgeous area. But we chose to, thanks to Dennis being a location on this gentleman's property. Was he have 30 acres up there, Dennis?
26.
And we didn't have any crowds. We didn't have people yelling and screaming, and you know, we could talk to each other, but yet get our work done that we needed to get.
Rocky was a big part of the experience.
Maybe he'll listen to this. Thank you, Rocky, for your hospitality and whatever. I mean, we chose to kind of lay back a little bit out of the crowds, and I for me that was invaluable because this is certainly, and I'm sure if I process an image, you'll see it. You'll notice right away this is not my strong suit, and I needed all the quietness and compatibility with my gear.
Let me ask you guys a question. How many of your photographs were single frames versus bracketed frames?
Probably 90%. I only bracketed during the totality, kind of.
Okay. Me too. But I took more pictures during the totality, going in and out of totality. You're clicking off really quick, where before that I was doing once a minute, but only, as Jack said, only bracketed kind of just before and just after the totality.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was glad that we had done the practice. And there was a gentleman who'd written a book about eclipses that I use as a reference to help set everything up. And like I said, I set up a custom mode so I could just go between the two of them. And that changed. That helped off a lot too. So it was a more technical type shoot. So it played to my strengths, if I've got any. And so the artistic stuff, I think, comes in when you start sessing and aligning and getting everything so it looks valid.
Dennis is underestimating his photographic prowess.
Yeah.
Dennis is not blowing his horn. He is a good photographer.
Yeah, he is.
To me, a lot of the artistic side was a good deal. Afterwards.
You know, the great thing about it, there were no whiners.
Yeah. Good wieners. Good hot dogs.
We had hot dogs.
No whiners.
Chili.
Doug, do you want to finish that thought that you had?
No, I forget what it was.
Okay. No worries. No worries. You know, to me, thinking of artistic versus technical, I think, when I went through totality, I chose not to photograph at all. I just wanted to be part of the experience. And And, you know, a lot of the images, I'd love to have them for my own, but, you know, you see a couple hundred of them on social media and they all sort of look the same, you know, but still they're each person's photograph and they have a sense of pride and accomplishment for them. And I could see very much how this is more of a technical exercise than an artistic exercise because you're really just shooting a round object up in the sky.
I always think that the artistic thing comes in the processing of how you're going to arrange things and what you want it to look like. It's a different animal.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, but it was good. You know, I mean, the next one's in 20 years, and I don't think I'm going to be around for the next one. So
I hope to.
It was worth the 8. This was for Doug and I. It was about 8.5 hours one way. And I'll tell you what, if there was another eclipse tomorrow, I think we'd both get in the vehicle. And we were really blessed because we looked at the weather 24 hours before, and it looked like it wasn't going to happen. And again, this goes back to my, if you don't go, you don't know.
Exactly.
I mean, we could have said, well, it looks like it's only going to be 50-50. Why don't we drive in 16 hours for something that might not happen? And
you wanted to be with me, obviously.
Well, that's what it was. Let's cut to the chase.
That is part of it. But, you know, I mean, we easily could have said, you know, heck with this, let's not deal with it. But the worst thing that could have happened is Dennis would have knocked it out of the box like he did and sent us a picture, and we would have not been real happy.
No. You don't know if you don't go.
No. Right. If you don't go, you don't know.
Either way. Yes, but we're gonna trademark that, Jack Graham.
I should get a T-shirt made.
You should, because it's very, very true. And those words have rung in my head for many, many years. Yep. And you just got to get off your butt and go, even if you're not sure about it, because magic can happen.
Yeah. So the things, folks, you know, and we're going to probably bang this up in a minute or two, but the things I think that you need to take away from this experience, and it really relates to a lot of other photography experiences, doesn't have to be an eclipse, but if you don't go, you don't know. And, you know, enjoy the moment as much as the photograph, and prepare to be able to do what you want to do. I mean, how many times, John, did we get somewhere and we asked a client, do you have, we want to do a slow exposure here. Do you have your ND filter? Well, it's back in the room.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
That's a lot. And it's preparation. And, you know, all of this stuff, I mean, we say, well, you need a lens hood and you need a cable to release, and you need this and that and this. It all just gives you the chance to make a good photograph. But being prepared, I'm telling you, it's so important.
Having stuff, but also being prepared mechanically, like to Dennis's point around practicing putting the filter on and off, and, you know, practice using your tripod, practice using ND filters, practice using cable releases. I mean, that just, it makes all the difference when you get on location. And so all of your energy can go towards the creative side, and you don't have to worry about mechanics and technical stuff.
Let me tell you, when Dennis is doing his woodworking and Doug is doing his
Doug things,
Doug is the ultimate handyman. Doug is like who is that guy in the Olympics that kept winning the 10, what do they call it, the event that had
decathlon?
Decathlon. Doug is the decathlon of doing things. I can't even spell screwdriver. That's part of the reason like I am. But,
I think to tag on what John said, but I think also being prepared also lets you help with creativity, but also lets you enjoy the experience a little bit, because you can relax a little bit and not be so focused and so intent on the camera to like enjoy time with Dennis and Rocky and just where we were and just watch how dark it got. Just watch the goats with how they reacted to the darkness. I mean, the whole being able to take in the whole experience in this particular case, I think, is really, really important.
And that Doug, when I used to play my trumpet, I looked at the music and I'm playing along, and you think I went, oh my God, in the third line, man, I'm changing keys from B flat to E flat. No, you just see it, and because technically you don't have to do it. You don't think about it. Same with the camera. And folks, you don't have to go to an eclipse.
No.
You don't have to go to New Zealand. You could do this in your living room. Let your dog or cat run around and practice.
But even to further Doug's point, it's that experience. And you don't have to be at an eclipse. I mean, I've got, for those that can see YouTube, right, I've got the Oregon coast behind me. Jack's got Iceland. Dennis has got a desert scene. Doug's got a mountain scene. Imagine standing there and feeling and being in these locations. I mean, the experience part of this craft is oftentimes, to me, a little bit more valuable than the image itself.
Yeah. Yep. So, and the people you're with.
Yep.
Makes
a
big difference.
Without a doubt.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to plug something, John, before we're done.
All right.
Ultimate experience. That we can relate to the eclipse and being prepared and being technically suspect is our forthcoming newly announced Katmai Bear experience for September of 25, which is on both our websites, John and mine. And it's I got an email today. I think you got it from a couple people that have already committed to going. Have sent deposits in, so this is going to go. And we can only take, we can't take a lot of people. We can take enough. We've got plenty of room right now, but I got to tell you, it's going to feel like it all.
It is an amazing experience. And as I talk to folks about this, I mean, I feel so blessed to have been able to have gone several times, and each time is unbelievably amazing. So, yep.
Anyway. So that's my little plug for today. But it gets back to this preparing and knowing where, when, how, and why. And I can't thank Dennis enough for making this happen. Yep. He coordinated really the whole thing and guided Doug and I through this. We were like the new clients in a workshop. Kind of it was great. And Dennis, thank you. And Doug is a lot even better at this than I am, which is hard to imagine, but
it just shows how bad you
Doug,
are.
Yeah, Doug, you know, between Doug and Dennis, I can't, hopefully I got a photograph. You know?
Yeah, awesome. So with that, I think we'll give this a wrap and let everything go dark. We'll have totality.
Totality.
Yeah,
we'll have
exactly.
A little bit of Pearson's beads going on.
Yeah. So, folks, if questions, comments, send it to wetalkphoto@gmail.com. And otherwise, stay tuned for our next podcast episode. Doug and Dennis, thank you so much for deciding to come on with us. And
great talking to you guys.
Hey, Dennis, do you have a website?
Me?
No. Hey, you ought to do that. You know, this internet's going to be really big.
I don't know. You know,
everybody's going to have
costs money.
Everybody's going to
I have to save all my money to keep you in groceries.
Yeah, got that right. Well, anyway, folks, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this, and we appreciate it. And those of you, we have a cool podcast here coming up here pretty soon, and we thank you for being here. John, I know you're going to be up in Olympic next week. Good luck.
Yeah,
and
the next workshop.
I'll be in Smokies the week after, and that's going to be good. And thank you, guys, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Bye, folks.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay, so what's its face? iTunes or GarageBand's on. This is on. I think we're good to go. Looks good. I don't know whether to wear my glasses or not. Just because of the reflection. Oh, yeah. I feel like my eyes are squinty when I don't have my glasses on. It's weird. All right. You ready to go? Okay. Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of We Talk Photo. I am John Peterson here with Mr. Jack Graham. How you doing today, Jack? Mid-40s and raining, which is, you know, that's what keeps the Northwest green, so can't complain. Yeah, and it's just, it's constant. But this weekend, 70 degrees, it's going to be the kickoff of spring. It'll be nice, yeah. Nice. Well, I'll be up there a week after you, I think, doing the doing my workshop. Yep. So Yeah. I mean, 5 years. Yep. Program. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. Well, I think, you know, Jack, for me, it goes back to, if I was to take a big step back, you know, for many years, photography, they've questioned whether photography is an art form or not, right? Is photography art, as it's understood from the classical definition of art? And I think those of us that are photographers would like to think that it is. Great. So, you know, are painters famous for the paintbrushes they use or the paint they use? Are sculptors famous for the chisels they use or how they hold the chisel? No, but my point is that the really great artists are about the end product, not about the tools or the techniques necessarily. There are some exceptions to that, but it's about the creativity and being able to express your vision through whatever artistic medium you have. And I think that's where you and I have always been aligned, and kind of the foundation of this channel is really expressing more of the art and the creative side of this, not the how-to side. No. Yeah, that's kind of what started. I think this whole No. So I got 2 points for you, Jack. Kind of just to tie up the first topic we were sort of talking about, which was creativity and art instead of technical knowledge. And you know, whether you're a beginner, an intermediate, or a seasoned photographer, at some point we have to stop thinking about gear. I think if we want to create art, we have to stop thinking technically and start thinking creatively. And a lot of it's not necessarily about the how to do something, it's about the when to do something and why to do something. And that's why you and I don't necessarily get into the how side of things. We're more into the why and when and learning to see and those types of things. So that's sort of my way to tie up that last topic. But the topic that Jack and I have been talking about a lot lately is the use of the word pro, P-R-O. And, you know, if you follow these tips like a pro does, you're going to shoot like a pro. You're going to be better. And pro, this word pro and tips, there are all these buzzwords to get attention. I get it. But I also don't want people to fall into the trap of just following blindly that these pros says I need to do this and so I'm going to be a better photographer. Uh-uh. You know, so this word has this baggage that comes along with it, and I don't want people to blindly follow it. I think that's my first point is that word's again being overused. It kind of goes in cycles. It kind of goes up and down, and seven pro tips to do this, and pro dishwasher repair, and Yeah. Oh, easy. Yeah. Yep. Yep, 100%. Yep. Yep, I would agree. I would agree. And it, no, I don't know. I mean, it's it really what professional means is these days, maybe, also is just somebody who, you know, practices more. Somebody who's got a camera in their hands more than other people might. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're better. You know, and so many professional services that we hire, not necessarily better than what I could do myself around the house. So, you know, it's just this sort of advent of or my caution of not putting too much stock in professional as a word to being the end all be all for knowledge. You know, there's, if you're listening to this program, you're obviously extremely intelligent. Okay. So, you know, I know that you have enough knowledge to create beautiful images. And the trick is getting the confidence and knowing when to apply certain techniques and why you do that. It's the when and the why, not the how. The how's easy. The how's just repetitive motion and just a little bit of stored knowledge. Once you get past understanding how to use your camera technically proficiently, now you're into the what, when, and where, and why. Mastering this. No, and what, you know, and kind of what you and I, Jack, always preach to people is, you know, and it, that's the whole thing, like with Lightroom tips and post-processing, we all want to keep learning. That's one of the fun things about this hobby is to keep learning. I enjoy learning new processing tricks and tips and all that kind of good stuff. But for me, a poorly composed photograph, I can process the heck out of it, and it's still going to be a poorly composed photograph. Yes. Yep, it's still a pig, basically. So, you know, where is the effort and knowledge around creating beautiful artistic images? That's a hill that you and I are continually climbing and have for many, many years. And, you know, we're going to keep climbing it because I think that's the essence, and that's where a lot of the reward for this comes from. You know, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of new people coming in that want to learn the basics and the fundamentals. That's great. We all have to learn somewhere. But once you learn, what's next? How do you be an artist, not a camera owner? Which is, is it a pro tip? Yes. Yeah. I have experienced in the last couple of years some folks that are just vapor locked, for lack of a better word. Young kids probably don't know what that is, but us older people, you know, these folks, their brains are vapor locked because they have so much stuff running around trying to jumble and put it together to make sense of this information to execute a photograph in the field. And they just have way too much. So...